Good morning, humans. It's December 18th, 6:20 a.m. here in the Pacific Northwest coast of North America. Today's Wuzhou is about. It's going to be somewhat rambling, but we'll start with a little quote. There's a tide in the affairs of men, which taken at the flood leads on to fortune. Omitted, all the voyage of their life is bound in shallows and in miseries. On such a full sea are we now afloat, and we must take the current when it serves or lose our ventures. This is usually referred to as the tide and time in the affairs of men quote. It comes from William Shakespeare. I find a couple of things very curious here. So many of the quotes that we have are about and arise from the seagoing peoples. Obviously a pointer to the fact that no matter where you are on this planet, even landlocked in Kansas or in Uzbekistan, the influence of the sea is not far away because it's distinct within our language. And I think that we were at one point in our previous civilizations, more of a pan-oceanic people that happened to live around the edges of the ocean, as opposed to continental people that live around the edges of the continent. And it was likely that that was the case because there was far more water relative to the land. People don't discuss this, but I think at some point we had a water world. We had maybe 90% of the surface was covered by water. In any event, so today let's discuss a few housekeeping things here real quick and then go on to some of the other stuff. Insofar as housekeeping goes, we've been doing some work here. I'm really very excited about this, goofy little handheld computer that they call a smartphone. It's kind of cool. I got one of these things on an eBay deal. The seller and I disagreed at first as to what the hell I received, but it was my misunderstanding as to how it all functioned. But I was able to get hold of an international version of a Samsung Galaxy Note 2. And because I'm not going through any of the... I got an unlocked version. I'm not going through any of the carriers, therefore I didn't have those costs associated with it. And once I've got it, of course, first thing I've done is hack and crack and mod the bugger. But boy, they're quite powerful. And you can indeed turn off the GPS and some of the other ways in which they locate you. Now, it is quite true that if you walked around with the thing on, available to be sensed by the cell networks and the cell towers, then, you know, just to receive a phone call, then you're being tracked. But for me, it's less about the phone part than the computing part, because they're really damn cool. There's actually more raw RAM and more storage, native storage, in this damn phone than on the PC that I'm recording this talk on. So just as an evolutionary thing, we truly have had convergence. Not convergence the way David Wilcock thinks when, you know, we all become angels and flap around and, you know, don't have to eat, drink, or shit anymore. But no, this is convergence of technology. So that truly I have a Star Trek-like, you know, handheld computing device with incredible power here with all kinds of sensors built into it. And for me as a programmer, this is really cool because I can get at all of this stuff. I'm using an Android operating system, not the iOS that comes in from Apple, which, like all their products, is more controlled in terms of what they allow you to do. In any event, so the reason I bring it up is that Igor and I are exploring a couple really interesting ideas, one of which is a bot app, which would be an app that would allow the ability to dial in and be presented with a view of model space in near real time. I mean, it's going to take some time to transmit the data across. It's going to take some time for your phone to resolve and render the model space. Then, of course, you'd have the issue of interpreting it. We haven't gotten beyond that at this point. But we're working on a few things, so that's quite interesting there. Then I found myself involved in a couple of Bitcoin startups, and I'm also going to go into the area of app design and development, because I've got some really cool tools I want to explore here. And it's all Java anyway, which is just really an outgrowth of C++, which is an outgrowth of all the other object-oriented programming in the late 80s. So it's real simple for me. I read that stuff natively. I hadn't been interested in phones. I got burned out on them. by doing all that phone programming in the late 80s and 90s, I was just sick of the buggers. But now they're kind of cool. It's more like programming a computer and that just happens to have a phone in it. So, you know, the communications capability. But I'm really excited about all the sensors and stuff and the ability to create the Android apps. So we're going to start doing, we're going to proceed with our bot app. So far it's been rather, we've run into less obstacles than I had originally thought. And so it's proceeding smoothly. I don't know if that's a good sign or a bad sign. So now let's talk about a few things here. I'm really, really, really buoyed up and excited because we're at the point where the Bank of China has clamped down on the ability to transfer renminbi into Bitcoin. Now, this is an expected move. Central bankers don't like Bitcoin because it's their competition. Doesn't matter what, you know, nationality or sovereign interests are represented by that particular bank. By the way, when I say sovereign interest at a national level, I don't refer to the population. I refer to the ruling criminal class. So they are sovereign in China, and they don't want their people being able to leave their fiat, just the way the Fed doesn't want its slaves to be able to leave it. A couple of things about this is that there is a combinatorial network effect. Whenever somebody leaves and takes their wealth and transfers it out of the fiat from central banks into something like Bitcoin, gold, or silver, there's this like double whammy. Not only does it remove from the control that amount of wealth that's been transferred, but it also means that there's a chunk of material part of universe that can't be used as abstraction for the creation of what they call a distributed debt under the reserve or fractional reserve system. And so once that money is into Bitcoin, it can't be used to engender more debt. So there's just this huge wave of stuff that goes on, because when you deposit something in a bank, they use it to theoretically loan out part of their assets, means they can leverage at 100 to 1, 1,000 to 1, whatever rate they're at these days. Anyway, so the central banks do not like people leaving fiat, their fiat. Now, if we call Bitcoin fiat, at least it's the people's fiat. So it's really cool that they're jumping all over it. I was hoping it might drop down into something reasonable, you know, maybe $200 each, where there was a chance for people to go and buy some. It's going to bounce around probably the $500 to $700 range and then go back up again. So that's part of the discussion here today. Really, it's I have to mention the Bitcoin just so that this gnarly bastard won't send me some. I've got this guy out there saying, hey, I'm sick of Bitcoin, just sick of the stuff. Don't ever mention Bitcoin again. And in fact, if you'll do a Wujo and not mention Bitcoin at all, I'll give you some of the buggers. So it was kind of like he really irritated me. I don't, you know, I'm not for hire. I do basically what the fuck I want. And so I don't want his Bitcoin, so I'm mentioning Bitcoin. But no, really, I had to, because it's a major part of the story from here on out. It'll be almost impossible over the next few years not to be involved in this as the whole fucking world shifts over to cryptocurrencies. We're in a really interesting period of time, thus the quote that we begin with from William Shakespeare, by the way, about the tide in the affairs of men. Now, tides are very interesting. From a sailor's perspective, most people don't really understand. Well, most of the landlubbers don't understand how tides work. They think the tide goes out and it comes back in. And that is true. But it goes out in a particular way and it comes back in a particular way called the rule of twelfths. And so you have a tidal cycle that's 12 hours. And that means it takes half that period of time to go out and half of that period of time to come back in. Now, within that cycle, there's this other cycle, and that is the way in which the waters flood out and come back in, or ebb out and flood back in. And thus the reference in the quote to the affairs of men, and when you take the, when taken at the flood, okay? Because, see, here's the thing. More water floods back in the tide in the last hour of the tide coming in than the first hour of the tide coming in. So I'm not going to get into the details. The math is not even tricky, but it warps a bunch of people's heads to think about it. But basically, more water comes in at the very last bit than before it turns and heads back out the other way. But when the flood tide is on you, that is really something that it's you know, the last hour of the tide coming in. And it, people can surf on that. I mean, it's that powerful of an effect. And as sailors, you know what a flood, tide is, when you're on the flood part of the tide. You take advantage of it. And so, again, I think it's very curious that so many of our sayings are, about managing ourselves on the water. And we then apply those to, in a metaphoric and, as analogies throughout the rest of our lives, even if we're just 100% land lovers. And just listen to the language of the people around you over the course of, say, the next 3 or 4 months, and look at how many references they have and expressions that basically go back to sailing. You know, a stitch in time saves nine. It doesn't relate to some woman trying to darn a sock. It comes from a sailor having to stitch up his sail. And, you know, if you see a little tiny tear, you sew it up right then and there because you know the wind's going to rip it further out. So a stitch in time saves nine. Most of these things are indeed water-based, something which really freaked out Igor the more we got into it. Anyway, though, he's an air guy. He's a pilot kind of a fellow. Anyway, he doesn't like water. I mean, he showers and that kind of stuff. But as far as I know, he's not really that fond of going across the stuff. Anyway, so let's get into some of the data here. We've got another data run in the process, and we're pulling in data now. We're going to work on the interpretation. We're not going to have a report out anytime soon because of the level of crapola that we're all getting into anyway, but it's going to affect our economics. Plus, we're busy on some other projects that we've just got to get done before we go back to there. And again, we're also in an issue of we're like everybody else, right? It doesn't, as a merchant in that sense, as somebody who sells something, doesn't make a lot of sense to take dollars. The instant you got them, they're worth crap, and then you involve yourself with a bunch of fucking criminals that are offering the dollars and want to get some of them back in the form of tax. And the mere fact that you've got the dollars lets them think that they have some authority over you. And so you know, dollars are this nasty little fucker that we just would rather not get involved with. And if we waited long enough, we wouldn't have to. I don't think we can hold out until May. I've got to get a couple more reports out prior to that. But our data shows that the, from the last run, shows that the existence of the Fed and the language around its existence, continued existence, was going to show up, and we'd have a 3 to 4 month run of it, and then the U.S. dollar is effectively not a concern for us anymore. And so it was with, I don't want to say great glee, but I was happy to see some of the, oh my God, you know, are we doing things right language, you know, start to leak out from the Fed, and their acknowledgement that, you know, they're tenuous, that unless they've got the people behind them, they're fucked. So, hey, they're fucked. You know, they've done nothing but horror and badness and death and murder for the last 100 years they've been around on a scale that it is hard for the human mind to comprehend. If we acknowledge that, governments kill their, subjects, anyway, all the way back through history, we still must acknowledge that the scale of that death, escalated tenfold minimum and in every country with the emergence of a central bank in that country. You know, and arguably it was the money centers of the European nobility that murdered 30+ million Native Americans as they conquered this continent. And they were essentially, this is the Rothschilds and, you know, the Red Shields and the Bowers, who are really Bowers, they're really Jewish. They took over this country basically on a financial issue. There's other shit behind it if you keep reading into the deeper and darker parts and follow the rabbit hole further on down, but we can just stop right there with the money issues, because that'll be one of the dominant things over these next 4 months. In our data here, we've got a, looking at my notes, let's see. Okay, so actually, depending on how we want to look at it, you know, as if we examine the economic world from the viewpoint of the fiat, currencies from the central bank, or if we look at the economic world from the viewpoint of the people, which is the view I prefer, then if we look at it from the people's viewpoint, we get one set of data flows to examine. And then if we go on over to the banksters and look at it from their viewpoint, we get another set. What I find very encouraging is that these two sets are now diametrically opposed, and that these sets are exhibiting the contention that exists in the real world. So from the viewpoint of the powers that be and the banksters and so on, the 2014 is going to be filled with, fear, self-loathing, crisis of existence, being oppressed, being pressured, being poked, death of a thousand cuts. And actually, it's probably on the order of millions of cuts, and on and on and on. It is not a good year for the powers that be. They're going to finally start, in the Western world anyway, exhibiting some of the suffering that they've been pushing onto others. And in a curious aside here, we're going to see this with some real asshole celebrities that are just celebrities because the powers that be use them for their Illuminati rituals, and these people are really fucking stooges. And they're throughout the media world, not just merely the media anchors, but just regular asshole celebrities that the media anchors can't stop talking about. And so we're going to see some really interesting things occur there. The data says some of these people are going to just be out and out sacrificed as the powers that be freak out and try and use magics to recover their power. In fact, they're going to try every fucking thing they can because their power is going to slip out of their hands so rapidly and so noticeably to all of us that it's going to fucking freak them out. What I think will freak them out even more than the actual loss of their tools of their power is that the base of their power, which is this hidden secrecy and all of that, is going to flow away so rapidly that basically you'll have millions of people standing around pointing their fingers at all these people saying, oh, look at the Illuminati asshole and all the problems he's having. And oh, by the way, I'm not going to involve myself in that. I don't have to be part of any of this shit. And so there's this, if we go back over to the populist side, there is a schism coming very rapidly, very early in 2014. The schism is one of self-separation. The data would describe a situation where perhaps tens of millions, hundreds of millions of people within the Western world, this is Europe, this is global pop in the sense of reaching in the Anglo-American sphere of influence, we see perhaps hundreds of millions of people over the course of 2014 that decide, that's it, not gonna participate with you guys anymore. And they start doing things like, you know, in spite of the problems, getting into Bitcoin, buying and getting the, out of the fiat, getting their fiat currencies out of the bank and converting them to goods. You know, people are good. We're going to start seeing stories of, you know, people hoarding detergent because they'd rather have detergent in the house and cans of beans than hold dollars. And people will get dollars and there will be a on payday and there will be a rush to spend them within the next few days simply because they're worthless and degenerating so rapidly. It's sort of a weirdness because the data would describe it as with all the intensity of a bank run, but it's not focused on people trying to get cash. It's focused on people trying to get out of cash, trying to get the hell of the, get the stuff off their hands. So it's really goofy. It even appears within the people in the EBTs getting loaded up and how they apparently rush out that the minute that it happens and spend every damn thing because the value of it a month from now will be far less than it is that day. Now, it's going to take a while before your standard welfare schlub who's been dumbed down, you know, their brain is saturated with trans fats and all screwed up by all of the chemicals and so forth. It's going to take a while for these individuals to recognize that what's going on and start reacting with this. But there's a herd instinct that's going to take over. So a lot of them will be doing it without really understanding why. But that herd instinct is also going to be affecting the rest of us. So from the point of view of the people, the schism in the early part of the 2014 is a very positive thing for Bitcoin. So I'm still going to stand by that data block over whatever we call it, where we merge these two charts, and it shows that we're in the 3,400 range for Bitcoin in U.S. dollars by the end of the second week in January. You know, I don't know if it's accurate or not. That's just what the data shows. And that was our goofy attempt to try and put a projection of the up and down, up and down, up and down crap from Bitcoin charts spread out, normalized, and somewhat stabilized over our model space and our timeline. But the interesting part is that there's a $3,400 and $3,500 metric around Bitcoin relative, linguistically, not numerically, but linguistically, relative to the existential crisis of the Fed and the desertion of the U.S. dollar and all this other stuff. So truly, at that time that all this crap happens with the Fed and so forth, that's where Bitcoin will be around $3,400. Now, I don't know that if it's going to be all the way into April when the beginning of all the existential crisis for the Fed peaks. In terms of that's when we reach our maximum emotional values with it is about the, let me see here, about the 5th, no, 14th, no, between the 12th and the 15th, so around tax time. In April is when the language really starts peaking about the evil Fed and whether they're going to exist or not, and the rest of us, and people are abandoning them. There's lots of language about people refusing to pay taxes, lots of language about tax protests, and this sort of thing. So it's going to get really interesting around then. There's apparently, I don't know if it's actual riots or not, but there's, interaction between authorities and the populace over the issue of the dollar and the taxes and stuff around the early part of April as well. So that may be when the real global crises hits with the dollar and its sudden precipitous drop in value. Just as an aside, because there's a narrow band of high-intensity chatter about this Iraqi RV revalue, I wanted to point out some people something. If indeed the Iraqi dinar was revalued to being worth more than the United States dollar at this point, then that is a more of a comment on the dollar than it is on the dinar. And so say that the Iraqi dinar jumped up to $3.24 or 80 cents or 60 some. Doesn't matter. What it's actually saying is that the dollar has crashed and cratered because the Iraqi dinar is a defunctional currency for a defunctional regime that is propped up by military force. Now, that's true of the United States and all other regimes, but this one is very, very, very shaky. And also, let us note that in the beginning of the George Bush's aggression against the people of Iraq, the rate of the dinar to the U.S. dollar was not openly traded. It wasn't openly set in forex markets and stuff. It was an extremely controlled currency, and they had all kinds of sanctions against them. So they were able to set their current rates. And so to all the poor people that are deluded with this dinar revaluation thing going to make them rich, a couple of things. If that ever occurred, which it won't, if that ever occurred, it actually means that they're not rich. It means that they are. There would be about 30,000 or 40,000 people around the planet that had more worthless dollars than they used to have. But it would basically mean that the dollar right now would take a 1,000 would drop 999% of its value. And so if that were the case, they would be left with millions of dollars when it would take billions of dollars to buy bread and tens of millions of dollars to buy beer. hey, I don't think that's a blessing for anyone. Anyway, so getting back to the future of what's going on here. We've got a lot of language showing Bitcoin in an ascending mode. These are linguistics. These are not numerics. I don't have any numeric representation of what's going to go on here. I've got language showing a really hard crash on these Quark things. Again, probably end of the first week, second week in January. There's some of that language shades over to what's going to happen to the poor bastards that get shot on the Iraqi dinar revalue scam. So there's a lot of violence around that. Not good language at all. We've got, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4 really large sets here. Let me go and check that one. Yeah, so this one set over here, very large, as we get into model space, within the subset of the ascending values that are around Bitcoin from January on, and probably January 1, January 2, something like that. I mean, it's very early. As model space moves, it's rather jerky because we're dragging all these huge dots from one hypothetical representation of a day to another. Because bear in mind, there's stuff happening here now, and it's the 19th in other places, but it's the 18th here. So because the planet is circular and encompasses a whole day, it makes some interesting divisions and deviations in our data, because we have to guess a lot. Oh, well, is it actually on this day or that day? And that's why there's this like 3-day spread on the immediacy data. Anyway, though, our data sets here are showing an ascending trend that is running through March. That's as far as I can move the model space at the moment. So it continues, I'm quite sure, because there's no sign in the model space that's going to degrade there. Picks it up right in January, but in moving it into January, it's so close to the end of December that I can't tell if it's the last week in December or actually the first week in January. You know, it could be either, both, in the sense of when it starts. But anyway, so Bitcoin starts going up again then through an ascending mode all the way through March. A lot of people aren't going to buy into this, and that's fine. You know, if you're freaked out by Bitcoin, then, you know, you're freaked out by the volatility, and you should not be in it, because its volatility is going to flatten out at one level and be more stable, as we've seen in these past weeks. But then that's stable on a daily basis. And if we look at it, it's still going to be very volatile in a big, long, swoopy kind of ups and down movement. So if the volatility freaks you out, maybe it's time to get out of Bitcoin. I think probably if that's the case, you'll be selling in the first week in January if you're going to think about things in terms of a loss. And it may be that another way to look at this is that it'll take until the end of the first week in January to work through the overhead resistance of these past few weeks here, as the central banks have come out against it. This is very much one of those things, you know, first they ignore you, no one gave a shit about Bitcoin for years, then they ridiculed it as being, you know, something weird and funny and stupid, and they're still doing the slightly fading out of that, and then they acknowledge it, and now they're fighting it. And so we're really close to winning. The rapidity of this is really interesting, because see, here's the thing. It's taken 4.5 years to get Bitcoin to this stage. So comparisons with Bitcoin to anything else need to be compared with the adoption of current technologies, such as phones and softwares. Facebook, Twitter, etc. And so we're right on schedule. And we should be having our big breakout or a big 100% crash. No one ever gives a shit about a cryptocurrency again. Now, my data does not show that. My data shows that there's a big breakout. The fiats do themselves in, you know, central banks do themselves in by shooting themselves in the foot with the fiat gun. And they fuck themselves over, and none of us want to deal with it anymore. And so we do everything we can to abandon the fiat, which is basically what was going on in China. They weren't speculating. They were housewives were trying to get the fuck out of a hyperinflation scenario, because they see hyperinflation. They know it. Sad news for us is that there's going to be a lot of pressure in the early part of this period of next 3 or 4 months towards a war between China and Japan. Sort of a gradual thing. At this point, it doesn't appear that we're going to have within the next 3 months the outbreak of an actual, you know, shooting, nuke war, this kind of thing. But there's language, for instance, that Russia's going to get a little freaked about what's going on down there because of the potential for it spilling over. There's going to be some level of refugee issues in Siberia that they've got to deal with. And so there's going to be a gradual shift towards a more hardened stance throughout Asia. Now, this is really good for us here in the United States, because the fucker reptilians that have been, there are 600 plus of them, that you're not allowed to know their name. It's a secret. Just merely mentioning the fact that it's going on and having any facts about it and releasing that will get you thrown into jail. And it's all about this secret negotiation that the dictator du jour here in the U.S. is having over this thing called the Trans-Pacific Partnership, this TPP, which would place corporations at a greater than government power level. And the politicians want this, okay? The reason is then they have liability. It ain't me, it's Monsanto. I can't do anything about it. You know, I don't make the rules. The laws say that Monsanto can sue you for trying to protect your water source from, you know, them irrigating with some weird ass fucking GMO water on their property next door. And that's coming, by the way, is, altered water. We don't have a real word for it. Mutated water, perhaps would be the best thing. Best way to describe it. And they're going to try and do that, this year. That's going to fail miserably. There's going to be a big blowback on that, which I'll really enjoy watching, but that's probably May and June. Anyway, though, so we're going to have huge financial issues through to, all through 2014. The crash begins real early. Existential crisis within the Fed bring it to a head by April as to whether or not they ought to exist. You know, they're useless anyway, and they've trashed us for 100 years, and they all ought to be taken out and shot. We all ought to dig up every single fucking Fed chairman and every person that's ever worked for the Fed at a knowing evil level, and do something disgusting to their bones and their graves. And then, you know, just for good measure, go on out and sterilize every single fucking relative they've ever got. Just so we don't have to deal with their ilk again. You know, because look, it's all bloodline, you know. Obama's related to Bush. Bush is related to the fucking queen. The queen's related to the devil. You know, that kind of shit. Anyway, so I understand now. I mean, I truly, after I'm a man of compassion, and I understand the steps that were taken to kill the Tsar's family, because it had nothing to do with them as individuals. It's a horrific act for the individuals that had to kill them. It's a horrific act for the family of the Tsar that had to die. They were at one level innocent, so to speak. You know, they were just kids. They didn't know what the hell was going on. They weren't actively participating. And the Tsar might have been a good Tsar, but nonetheless, the hereditary claim to "I'm a better human than you," and this other asshole believes it because he's got an authority complex, and so the two of us are going to get together and gang up on you because you don't have an authority complex, and we're going to kill you or make you submit, exists because of this DNA bloodline claim. And so, hey, it's real easy to deal with, guys. Get rid of the DNA, and it's a done deal. And I think that's coming. Unfortunately, I do. It's, you know, the idea of the pogrom. And all of this kind of stuff in Russia. A lot of it was to eliminate certain bloodlines. And just as we saw in Germany. Now, in Germany, they went fucking batshit with the Nazis in the 30s. Prior to that, though, the reason that they were attacked was they had no central bank. And they had no money with debt. And so our guys couldn't stand that. And they'd been financing them. Hitler, I mean, all our Western banks had financed his rise. And then he pissed them off by, you know, doing about-face and getting debt-free money. And so they had to get the rest of the world to go and punish him. And there's all kinds of crap going on like that all over again. And also because they think that they can hide their crimes in the greater horror of the larger war. So we do see data showing a push for war between China and Japan. We also show something that Putin's going to do in the latter half of the year that's going to, like, upset everybody else. I don't think it's going to be like preemptive strikes or anything, but I think maybe he may have a way to put the kibosh on the whole World War III deal. So we'll see. All kinds of stuff rolling in around space goat farts and the space and moon, as may be expected with the Chinese rover up there. It looks like scandals are going to erupt over that, although in Western world, not here, or not in China. You know, it's like I'm kind of pissed they didn't knock Bitcoin down to where I could afford one. you know, it's going to go back up too fast. But that's the pressure of the planet. You know, I don't want to be greedy. It wasn't for me to gain numeric dollars anyway. It was for me to just have more to spread around here locally. You know, because people in Western Washington are not necessarily as savvy as they should be. I live with a bunch of ignorant pigs up here that are, you know, heads down into their own stuff. But I'm sure that's the way it is everywhere. Anyway, that's kind of where we're at. I'll leave it here. It's gone for a half an hour, and I got to get some stuff done. But we do have a lot of good data and sets coming into the model space around Bitcoin. I'm checking here on a set that I've got some notes on. Looks like we'll cross over from sometime at the end of March. We make a big shift so that the dominating language in Bitcoin shows shift into constancy. You can think of that as more stability on a day-to-day basis kind of thing. And it looks like at the end of March, there's finally we crack through the, I guess you'd say, the hoarding mentality, and Bitcoin starts to really circulate. And that's when it looks, according to our data, that's when some of the combinatorical value is achieved. Because it's in circulation as a medium of exchange that's really, really valuable. I mean, it's cool as hell for me to be able to send Yoshiko money for dinner in Vegas just and take 2 minutes. It's gone. Don't have to screw with any goddamn bank or any of this sort of thing. It's secure, solid. It works, you know. Anyway, it's kind of a funny situation. We've been in a world that's now been defined where most of the space in humanity, if you will, I'm using these terms in a broader metaphoric kind of a way, but most of the space of the planet's been redefined as corporate. And that's changing. We're going to shift back over into the redefinition of non-corporate domains in terms of how humans interact, and we're going to have from the corporate authoritarian mindset, it's going to be very chaotic from this point forward. I like chaos. Chaos is cool. You know, Rondori with all these people running and jumping and trying to bash your head in and stuff is the greatest experience on the planet here, outside of a really good windstorm in a sound boat. Anyway, ideas on this planet do compete. Okay, ideas compete the way everything else does, and they compete in the global mind space, okay? And so here's what actually has occurred. Bitcoin is an idea. It started competing in the global mind space. Within that mind space, it has won. We're seeing the manifestation of the battle play out now. So the physical manifestations and emergence of things actually occurring in material reality is a lag from the battle that has gone on for the hearts and minds. And so the hearts and minds have already been won by Bitcoin. And it's like, hey, you know, it's, I'm going to be Jewish. That's what I'm going to say. Okay. I'm going to be Jewish. Love the Jewish people, hate the Zionists. Okay. The Jewish people, by their definition, are those who chose, not the chosen ones. They weren't chosen by God. They were a group of slaves who decided to serve this particular God, Yahweh fucker, okay, out of all the other Anunnaki. And that's how the legend goes. So they chose their God to serve, right? Well, okay, they serve Yahweh and Mammon and, you know, the dollar and the fiat, all of that. They chose. Well, I'm going to choose too. And so I've chosen not to serve the dollar. And I've chosen to put my allegiance towards the global currency that's, you know, issued by the people of the planet, and this is Bitcoin. So in that sense, it's like, yeah, I'm a betard, and not proud of it, but I'm happy about it because I don't have the a lot of the aggravation and problems that a lot of other people do, where they're trying to be in both worlds at the same time, or they're trying to profit in one and sell in the other, and all of that. It's like, choose. Because the world's going to choose for you real quick. Recap real quick here. If you're a holder of Bitcoins and you're freaked out by the volatility, sell at the earliest opportunity because the volatility will not decrease to the point where you are comfortable. It's going to continue to go. Bitcoin lives. It's anti-fragile. The Bank of China can't kill it. In fact, the Bank of China pissed a bunch of people off by their statement, and they've been super hounded by DDoS attacks from all over the fucking planet. Somebody got really pissed at them and triggered some data storms. In any event, we're probably looking at the earliest, it'd be the third or fourth week in January, that assumes we can get the deck done here and a bunch of other actual physical construction, as well as two major changes in the lexicon. The third or fourth week in January before we have another report out. And at that point, it's going to be really a toss-up as to whether we accept dollars for it or how we proceed. We may be legally forced to do so because they're going to get really nasty at people that don't like the dollar. Just like Saddam Hussein, they ripped his head off. They'll bomb the fuck out of you if you refuse to take their petrodollar. It'll be awful hard for them to bomb me without getting their stooges over here in Olympia. But, you know, that's what the predators are for, is precision bombing for anti-dollar fellows. The good news is predators are really fucking expensive and these guys are running out of their fiat and aren't going to be able to afford all this shit. It's like everybody is all freaked out about DHS and all their weapons and stuff for the next 5 years. I'm not. I don't think they'll have money in a year. It's like Stasi and Gestapo and all of that. They only existed because they were able to be paid. We're in a very unique situation that is not like 1930s and 40s in a number of ways, because they were not at the point of the death of a currency. They were in a currency crisis, but now we're at a point where they cannot keep the dollar running more than another year at the outside. And according to the data, it'll crash this coming year, very hard, very soon, within the first part of the year. It's a process. It's not a day. You won't wake up one day and be dealing with an Amarose or something else. And it's going to run into chaos because you won't be presented with some other currency officially offered by the government. You may indeed, but who the fuck wants it at that point? But my point here is that it's going to be a nasty, ugly, terrible process from the viewpoint of the powers that be. On the other hand, from, you know, the planetary alternative hippie crowd, it's going to be a very good year in the midst of a very bad environment. We're going to have planetary changes and all this kind of stuff and a bunch of fucktards running around blowing their heads off because their dollar's dying and trying to blow your head off because their dollar's dying. But if you can just avoid that, it's going to be really cool because their dollar is dying and it's taking all their power away. So more later, no, I don't want your Bitcoin, dude. I can't not talk about it if it's in the data. So as far as the model space goes, and I hate to put it to you, if you're already tired of the Bitcoin, Bitcoin's going to be a big part of this coming year as the currencies and the financial system go fucking batshit. Bear in mind, they only work with artificial order. You get these things into chaos and they don't function. You want to see what chaos is like? You look at a Bitcoin market, up, down, huge arbitrage, planetary wide, doing something different from minute to minute, wildly volatile, but it's alive. It's not controlled. And that's really what we're getting into. It's the loss of the control system over this next year. And so it's going to be really cool and also really fucking cold. We're getting into our ice age. That's all for now. Sorry it took so long to get to that. Bye.